A voicemail from Linda, a real Banner Health patient.
I just wanted to say thank you very, very much. We felt comfortable, and I actually didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay longer. All right, thank you so much.
Banner Health, exhale.
Is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open the fucking window.
Twitterless heroine, the queen of soft style. I am Miranda Morales, and welcome to the hashtag Miranda Show, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. I'm always excited to be with you today. It's a crazy time in wrestling. So much wrestling is happening right now, both nationally, at your backyard, hopefully not in your backyard right now, but like within your, you know, vicinity, the city limits or county, your local wrestling promotions that are going on. But I mean, if you do backyard wrestling, that's you. I mean, I you know, try and support all of wrestling, but that's a little too much for me. Not my cup of tea in particular. Not my cup of tea. But anyways, I'm very excited to be here today to have my co-host Greg DeMarco, as you can hear him snickering in the background as I talk about backyard wrestling.
Mandy.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
It's a backyard thing. Like, hopefully not in your backyard right now. Just made me laugh. So if a backyard wrestling promotion asked you to come ring announce their backyard wrestling show, would you do it?
Depends on the backyard. I have to admit, if it was like a party backyard, like if this was happening because someone was having like a really big get-together party, you know, like maybe a summer fiesta, you know, something like that, I would totally be down for it. A luau, any of those big piñatas. I'm a big fan of those at parties and, you know, in wrestling. The Lucha House Party had that a few weeks ago, and I missed it for a second, and then I was like, wait, they have piñatas going to the ring? I dig it. I love it. Give me all the pinatas. But if it's just people in their backyard doing it, probably not. Again, not that I necessarily have anything against backyard wrestling. It's just not my style. I feel like my ring announcing style would clash with what the backyard wrestling would be doing. So I don't want to, you know, it's just like, you know, wearing a nice button-up blouse with jorts, like it just doesn't match, you know? So I don't think I'd be a good fit for that company, Greg. I just don't think it'd be a fit.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just having way too much. You're literally, you know, evaluating the different kinds of backyards. Like, there's only one kind of backyard wrestling that ever takes place. It's the really bad kind. It's not good if someone wants to do it. We can't respect someone for wanting to. Oh, it's just so bad. I just couldn't help. Well, like your explanation, a nice button-up blouse with
jewelry. Yeah, no, I know how to navigate these political landmines, Greg. I know how to talk about this stuff.
I have no problems burying backyard wrestling whatsoever.
Oh, no, you don't. None.
Of course I don't.
No, you don't.
We've all talked about it. So, a couple things. This is I'm taking my creative liberties here because I'm with AEW now. By the way, in a private conversation, somebody was discussing 411 Mania and the chair shot, and they basically said that 411 Mania has become WWE, and we are AEW. I think that was a compliment.
No, in the highest regard.
Oh, I, you know, I'm an asshole, and I'm also an egomaniac, so of course I took it in the highest regard. So on my phone right now, this is just cracks me up. So the last six of the last eight texts from my wife have a series of really angry faces, whereas all the last texts from Tony Acero are red hearts. Something's backwards in my life right now. And
you know, that was, now I know how like Patrick feels when Elisa's on the show, where like Elisa's like, you know, hey America, great, how are you, Pat? You know, like that's what happened with Tony right now. You know, like, Greg, Patrick, man.
I know. That's why I was like, that's why I introduced you to later in the show. And that's why I got rid of Tony at one point. I was like, okay, it's four is too many for a show normally. Like, it works when we do the picks. Although I'll say it now, and if she hears it, I'm going to feel really bad. But I'm going to start making Elisa go first every time because she disagrees with whoever spoke before her. And that's just, you know, I'm like, I'm going to make her go first just to see what happens. She probably doesn't. I'm probably wrong. She's probably not doing that. I'm probably making generalizations because I'm an a-hole. That's what I do. By the way, I had another exchange, and I won't say who it is on the air. I'll probably tell you privately. Back and forth on Twitter with somebody in DMs, and where we basically had to settle on the fact that that person is a douchebag and I'm an asshole and we'll get along. So that's basically what we had to settle on. Because I apparently said something that he didn't like, and so he literally DM'd me about it and asked me why I was being a dickweed, was his word that he – so if he somehow listens, he'll now know that I'm talking about him because no one else uses that word. But this person – but, yes, it was lots and lots of fun. But it ended amicably. As amicably as that conversation can end.
That's one thing about you, Greg, that you're always fair. You may be an asshole, but you're always – fair in being
out. I don't know how I feel about how comfortably you say that I am that, but it's in my Twitter bio, so I guess I should.
Yeah, no. I mean, even you have never been personally an asshole to me. We have had very different points of view when it comes to wrestling and ideas and things like that, but never at a point of contention where, like, you call me names and I call you names. Like, that's just what Greg views, and that's what I view, and then that's it. So that's also, I mean, you have never been I'm just calling you by the name that, you know, the people have given you, apparently. It's like, you know, you've been knighted at, you know, Sir Asshole or something. Like, I feel bad if I don't use that because that's what, like, the people know you as. And then,
you're
got to keep it up. Yeah, you got to keep it up.
You got to keep it up. Gotta
keep up appearances.
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping up. you can keep up with Greg DeMarco and all his assholdom in half-holy things. I'm not really good with vocabulary, but you can follow him at ChairShotGreg on Twitter. Also, you can visit thechairshot.com for all of your latest wrestling news, opinion, and analysis. That's all you need. That's really all you need, and really the best source of wrestling information online. If you love AEW, you'll love The Chair Shot. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
You'll love it. You know, you may not love what people say about AEW on The Chair Shot all the time, but you'll love The Chair Shot.
So but that's what you're supposed to surround yourself with, people who make you better, and
yes.
you're supposed to surround yourself on, you know, but with people that maybe think differently than you. Like that's part of the problem with Twitter, is that people only want to hear from people that agree with them. Whereas I'm okay with people disagreeing with me, and that, and everyone thinks I'm not, but if they really did some research and saw, as we discussed in the last show, you have to go through 37,900 tweets to find that out. But it's a lot. It's really funny because we talked about Patrick's Twitter following. In these past couple of weeks where things have gotten a little heated on the Twitter, I've also gained 300 followers.
Whoa.
So, yeah, that's – I just want to point that out. So just be you is really what the lesson – the big idea, as a phrase that Marina knows well because I say it all the time on Driving with DeMarco, the big idea is just be you. Don't worry about what other people think. It's funny that this came out of a conversation with my mother, but I basically said, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about me. And except a very select few, a small group of people, then I do care. Like you, I care what you think, but I don't care what a random person on Twitter thinks. So that's just the way life is. Be you,
that's
be happy.
Actually, that leads me into a story that I kept going back and forth if I should share it or not. It's a silly story.
Last time you went back and forth on sharing a story, I changed your picture on my phone. So
yes,
let's see what happens.
I'm now Triple H.
Your name is not Triple H. My wife actually knows that story, though. So if she saw it, she would at least understand. It wouldn't prompt a divorce.
Yeah. Just explain to your wife next time why you have the name Triple H on your phone. It saves you a lot of trouble.
Just the picture. Yeah. Your name on your phone is actually...
Just in general, for anyone out there, if you haven't heard that episode, that story of the Hashtag Miranda show, you missed out. You missed out because it has some fun times.
Good stuff.
Triple H ruined my first marriage. Yes.
Just for clarification, your name on my phone is, and I quote, Miranda Morales. So there you go. Maybe I should change it to hashtag Miranda.
I was going to say, if it's not on the hashtag, then this is supposed to be my brand, Greg. Like you.
I'll fix it. I'm fixing it right now. Hang on. I'm fixing it.
So I wanted to tell a story about, like, exactly what you said, feedback, you know, or caring what people think, not caring what people think. I had an interesting experience on Monday. I was in New Mexico for Destiny Wrestling Organization, which was my home promotion, south of Albuquerque and Bosque Farms. We had a show there on Monday, and it was put together kind of at the last minute, so they didn't have the normal team of people. And by that, I mean, you know, you have, of course, people helping with production and putting things together, quote-unquote security, or people bringing, you know, items from the ring, and someone who rings the bell. We've always had a guy who would, you know, be the timekeeper and ring the bell. And he wasn't there. So as a ring announcer, I had to pull double duty on Monday where I had I had to ring announce, and I also had to ring the bell, which,
you
know, first time
recipe
for me. Well, it wasn't terrible, but, you know, that's where the story ends up going. So I had to, you know, think quickly on my feet and, you know, balance the two, which in all honesty is not that challenging. But I have to admit, ringing a bell was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So I, you know, do my best. I'm on cue. You know, the referee points to me. I ring the bell. You know, three counts, ring the bell. Hey, it's going good so far. I didn't necessarily pull an early ring bell like, you know, during the six women's tag match at AEW. So, hey, like, I'm okay. By those standards, I'm fine. During intermission, I walk, you know, running around, talking to people. I haven't seen most of these people in 7 months, so I was really excited to be there. Overall, it was just a thrilling day for me. You know, that is, you know, again, my home promotion. I love going back there. So I'm running around, and we're getting back from intermission, and this gentleman, I walk behind this gentleman, and he turns his head, and he points to me, and, you know, he asked me to come to him, and I said, okay, and he looks at me, and he said, you know, go, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but, you know, go at half speed with a full heart, half speed with a full heart, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting, and I just kind of nodded my head, and I said, okay, thanks, and I'm thinking, is he talking about my announcing? Like, because I'm a flash speaker, so I'm also, you know, have had a habit of announcing a little bit quickly, and it has been a habit working on a lot over, I would say, at least the past 6 months, trying to slow my pace. So I'm thinking, okay, there's maybe something about my announcing that isn't coming through. Not maybe I have to go slower. So I get back in, or actually I'm done announcing for the end of the day because we have our secondary announcer that stepped in. And so I'm thinking, okay, next time I really got to slow my pace and everything. So the next match starts, I ring the bell. And the match is going on, and I see the guy come up to me again. And he said, half pace with a whole heart. And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Like, I wasn't even up there. And then I start to realize he's critiquing the way that I'm ringing the bell. Apparently, yes, I am not ringing the bell with enough heart. I am not sure. But whether I was ringing it too fast, which I thought of you do with the bell, ding, ding, ding. Like, I
yeah, you do.
Yeah. But apparently he thought I should go slower with the bell ringing. And I'm just thinking, okay, what? I just got to keep on ringing this bell. Like, I just can't keep on. He goes back to his seat. Second match after intermission starts, I ring the bell again. He comes up to me again and keeps telling me, you know, half speed, full heart. And maybe this guy had been drinking. I don't know. He had a beer in his hand. So I can't necessarily, you know, believe that it was all in a sober mind. But yes, he kept coming back to me because I wasn't ringing the bell at what he thought was the most adequate way. And part of me was a little relieved when I realized he was critiquing my bell ringing and not my ring announcing, because I'm thinking, oh man, you know, we are our worst critics. We always kind of overanalyze ourselves, and especially in announcing when all you have to judge is your words. I got super nervous about, man, I've been, you know, trying to work on this so hard and it's not coming across. And then I'm like, wait, so what the heck am I supposed to do with this? Like, I really tried to listen to that feedback, because feedback is important in the world of wrestling. You know, whatever feedback you get from fans and wrestlers and promoters and all that, you know, it's important that you get it. It helps you grow. It helps you, you know, develop new skills, modify others. But then there's also a point of time when feedback is kind of a crock, and you're like, they're little tidbits of feedback that in the grand scheme of things mean nothing, but someone thought it was so important to tell you that you are not ringing the bell with enough heart and you're going too fast or something, you know. It kind of puts other things in perspective. So, maybe I'm not a natural born bell ringer. I apologize for the community in New Mexico for that. I wish I could have given you better, apparently. But, you know, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity. Hope we could, you know, continue this partnership here. And I'll be taking that feedback to, you know, learn and grow as a bell ringer, you know. Maybe one day I'll be good enough, but
it
was not my day.
I just went ahead on the hammer and walked away. Fuck, man, like, seriously. here you go. Like, I just, the hell, dude. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and again, as wrestling fans, I mean, we really critique things, we evaluate things, we watch things, and sometimes feedback is important, but sometimes feedback is so minute, it is so little in the grand scheme of things that does it truly matter? And I think that's kind of an important thing as fans for us to kind of evaluate or just think about. You know, anytime you critique, you know, WWE or even AEW or a wrestler or this and that, how big of a deal is it really? Is it something that adds to their character? Is it something that, you know, adds to a match or takes away from the match? Or is it just, are you really, really nitpicking? And again, depending on what you're doing within wrestling, it's one thing. When you are a wrestler, you're a performer, you're a referee, those little pieces of feedback, those nuggets can be critical because it's little things that you don't catch yourself doing in the moment that can really change, you know, your mindset or your perspective. But again, apparently I just don't have what it takes to be a bell ringer. So I may just hang up those boots.
Hang up the hammer.
Hang up the hammer because apparently I don't have a full heart when it comes to.
Apparently not. Full heart and half pain. It's weird because I'm being critical of this guy, being critical of you because I think it's stupid. But at the same time, I immediately go back to the ICW reunion show where I was explaining to Justin how to ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. It's not ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Three rings. Ding, ding, ding.
You came to mind, Greg, because when he was telling me to go slow, I was like, that's not how I remember Greg teaching Justin. Like, you have to laugh, but apparently to the five,
look,
no.
I have it. I have it right here. Like, that's it. It's so easy. Like it's right. It's not that hard. Like, I don't understand.
Apparently it is for me, Greg. It is for me because I was told I suck at it without being told I suck at it. I wish you would have just said you suck at this. And I would be like, okay.
It probably would have been better. Like,
it would have been better.
And it's what I say to people when they go hardcore into wrestling news, and I always say the same thing. Consider the source.
Yes. Consider the source. So, well, now a good quarter way into my show, I would like to
quarter.
Talk about some
this
actual...
This show is not going to
be
160 minutes long.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would actually like to talk a little bit about wrestling today. Surprise, surprise. And actually, that's kind of the theme that I wanted to go on today, was to talk about the element of surprise. And I briefly talked to Greg about this, something that I've been thinking about over the past few weeks as we've heard a lot about AEW, watching Double or Nothing this past weekend, which overall I thought was a great show. I don't think I came away disappointed. Of course, there was some elements that I thought were stronger than others, but overall a really well put together show. I was happy with it. And I think a lot of fans were, excuse me. But one piece of feedback that I've heard a lot about, you know, how do you make, you know, WWE interesting? How do you make wrestling interesting? And when asked, you know, give me specific examples, give me specific feedback on what makes wrestling interesting or can make it interesting. And one, you know, item that I hear a lot is surprise. I want to be surprised. I don't want to predict what happens next. I don't want to know what happens next. I want to be thrown off guard. I want to be surprised, which is an element that I love too. I really like to be surprised in wrestling. Some of my favorite moments as a kid were, you know, the shock moments, the moments you weren't expecting. And so I wanted to evaluate a little bit about analyzing, you know, surprises. And I know it's very challenging to do this fairly right now in the state of where two companies are, WWE and AEW. But I wanted to evaluate a little bit about some of the surprises that we got at Double or Nothing compared to some of the surprises that we've gotten recently with WWE. And I'm going to do my best to create some comparisons to the best of my ability as far as similar situations or, you know, similar things that have happened and kind of break down why fans have liked one over the other. And really I want to break down to, is the hate of WWE just about WWE? People are not going to give WWE a chance because they're WWE, because they've tried and they've been disappointed. Or is there certain elements to making something a surprise that maybe one company will do better than other, you know, the other company? Or really what makes people really look at a surprise and say, that was great. That was something that I was really looking forward to. Or that was something that caught me completely off guard. So I have probably three different scenarios that I'd like to throw at you. Again, you can tell me if I'm completely off base with these comparisons, but very quickly, I kind of thought of these different scenarios similar as best as I could. And I tried to keep it recent with WWE. Things that have happened over the past few weeks, comparable to some of the things that we saw, Double or Nothing. What do you think? Pretty fair game?
I think so. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. Well, one thing, and the biggest kind of correlation that I would think about when it comes to two of the biggest surprises that came out of the last week, between, you know, Double or Nothing and Money in the Bank, was Brock Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. That, you know, that was what we talked about a lot last week. The internet was on fire, things were burning, you know, all of the above. Like, everything was just so lit up because Brock won the Money in the Bank briefcase. And we talked, you know, there was a lot of feedback that, you know, first, Patrick, he was there. Patrick O'Dowd was at Money in the Bank, and he said that the pop itself was loud compared to what everyone heard on the TV. It was a loud pop. It got people's attention. And even some other little tidbits that could or cannot be correlated 100%, I can't be entirely sure, but, you know, Raw viewership went up the next day. Again, can't confirm it was completely based by that, but, you know, it could have been. And of course, you know, everyone was talking about it. AEW was just, you know, days away, but everyone was talking about Brock Lesnar. So that was one surprise there. The comparable surprise that I kind of think about with AEW was in different circumstances, but the biggest surprise that came out of, I think, Double or Nothing was Jon Moxley debuting. I know for me, I was really thrown for a loop because I did not expect Jon to be there. I was on the team that maybe he's taking a break, maybe he's going to go somewhere else, but that he wasn't going to show up to AEW. I mean, it was too soon. They were kind of unproven. You know, why would he go to AEW after being with WWE for so long? Spoiler alert, if you've heard the Jericho podcast, he tells you exactly why. So, fair enough. But I would say those were the two, that was the biggest surprise coming out of Double or Nothing. And I started to think, people were so mad about Brock winning Money in the Bank, but loved Jon Moxley debuting. And I'm thinking, they both had a lot of the same elements. Completely off guard, I would say, for the most part. I would say Brock's appearance at Money in the Bank was more of a surprise because I think there was internet rumblings and conspiracy theories out there that Jon was going to show up but just didn't know how, whereas Brock's was a complete and utter surprise. However, I think there was a good portion of the fan base that said, oh, not Brock again. We're tired of Brock. But that didn't quite translate the same from at least what the live audience had and even some of the reactions online. With Jon, I mean, it was overwhelmingly positive. Everyone was just stoked that he was there. And I honestly had the same reaction, the same physical reaction when both events happened. I was literally yelling, oh my gosh, because I did not expect either one. But I do think that people were just so unhappy with Brock winning that they completely downsized or, you know, minimized the fact that it was actually a really solid surprise and not necessarily giving credit to WWE for doing something that unexpected, which is exactly what fans have wanted. Greg, I'm interested in your perspective. One, I wanted to see, is it too much of a reach to kind of compare these two surprises for these companies?
No, not at all. I think they're very similar surprises, more similar than people would want to admit, in my opinion. Like, I think the two surprises are quite level in terms of the plane that they're on, and I think that, you know, people just don't want to admit it because we love Jon Moxley and we hate Brock Lesnar. And, of course, we, not being you and I, we being the internet wrestling community. I think they're very, very similar. More, like I said, more similar than people would like to admit.
Yes.
Well, in fact, I agree with what you said. I think Brock is a bigger surprise, like you said. I think more people would have predicted Jon Moxley showing up because, no, I didn't see anyone say, I bet Brock shows up and gets the briefcase. Like, I didn't see anybody say that. Plenty of people were waiting for Jon Moxley.
Plenty of people. And again, we talked about this last week. It is a surprise, but not the surprise you wanted, not the way you wanted. And that's kind of a common theme with you know, WWE fans, or just wrestling fans in general, is that, you know, WWE doesn't listen to the fans. WWE isn't listening to what people want. And then some people are saying, yeah, you know, do something different, but then it is not the way that you want. And I understand. Again, we talked about this before, you know, Money in the Bank, when it's done well, it can really elevate someone's career. And it had the opportunity to do that with this year's participants. It really, I mean, all of us are, you know, thinking either Andrade, McIntyre, even Ali, you know, came up as kind of this last minute front runner. And I think all of those could have been really interesting stories. But to be honest, the story that they've also been telling with Brock, since then, with this Monday night on Raw, has me kind of laughing. I like Brock with a little bit of personality, and I know it's not something he needs to do, but it's a different Brock Lesnar than the one that we've been seeing, you know, year in and year out. I mean, I'm Brock Party. It's kind of funny. I mean, it's not that it's hilarious. It gives me some chuckles, you know, should they revolve, you know, whole big storylines around it? Not necessarily, but, you know, they made a t-shirt out of it that I'm sure they'll make some money off of. You know, maybe you or I will buy it, but people are buying it out there.
There's a lot
of
people who want the Brock Party t-shirt.
Oh, man. I want a Brock Rock, like, playlist. The first thing I thought was, like, Yacht Rock station on Spotify. I want a Brock Rock station on Spotify. So someone do that for me. Thank you. I don't know what that would be consisting of, so that also, you know, would be interesting, what kind of music.
You're welcome!
That was a response.
Thank you. But again, it's been an interesting storyline, at least one that is different. It's a different side of Brock than we've been used to. It is, you know, maybe the execution of it, I could understand people thinking of it going in different ways, and maybe they're going a little bit in a silly direction. But at the same time, people are more interested in the Money in the Bank briefcase now than they have been, I would say, at least in the past few years, to be honest. The last few years of Money in the Bank, as far as those cash-ins and those stories, haven't quite hit the mark, I think. Is that your view on that as well, Greg?
Well, yeah, the cash-ins, I mean, I feel like Dolph Ziggler's cash-in was like the last great cash-in that people really got behind. The Miz and Seth Rollins are kind of tied for my favorite cash-ins. Rollins only because I called it from the moment he got the briefcase. Miz just because it was such a great moment. Like, I will still pull that up on YouTube and watch it because the crowd's reaction, it was unexpected. Like, there's a lot of things that cash-in meant and that it brought, and it was an elevation of a star. Like, just so many good things. And they had a good run, and he even won at WrestleMania, which is just unheard of for a heel to do. And so I like that. But the thing about Brock's so unpredictable with the briefcase. Like, everyone thinks they know everything about Brock, but now he has a briefcase and no one knows what to think. I will say this, because I report on ratings and YouTube views, and there's two things that really jump out at me about Brock with the briefcase and Beast and Brock in the Bank, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. First of all, the video, when Brock realized that he had a year to cash in, first off, that was hilarious. Like, everything that Brock does is real. Like, I know people criticize him when he came out of Money in the Bank and threw that ladder over, but it looks real. Like, when he just pushed the microphone away while Heyman was talking, that didn't look scripted. That didn't look like it was set up by a director and on a script, or it looked like it was real. But when he pushed the microphone, I was like, wait, I have a year? Like, and he didn't know. And then he starts paintbrushing Heyman with the thing. Like, that was just so funny.
That's pretty funny.
And then Brock was like, I'm not cashing anytime soon. And he just walks away. And of course, Heyman then is like, of course you don't have to, you know, and Heyman's being Heyman because he's brilliant. But here's the crazy thing. So two things I want to point out. Number one, the YouTube video of Brock Lesnar cashing in, as of right now, has 5.4 million views. And earlier today when I put together the YouTube video report, it had 4.825 million views. So it's already gone up 600,000 views during the day today, which is more than, you know, the number 7 or 8 ranked video from Raw this week. Last week, a video went over 2 million, and that was a rarity. So for something to go over 4 million views, that hasn't really happened since the WrestleMania build with you know, Ronda Rousey and one of her videos going over for almost 5 million views. Shane McMahon's match with Lance on Hawaii had 1.012 million views, which is crazy as well. So obviously people care about that. The other thing that's interesting of note about Brock Lesnar with the briefcase, Raw had a smaller drop from hour number one to hour number two this week than it has since I've been covering Raw ratings. And Brock appeared in hour number two as well as hour number one. So, yeah, Brock, from a business standpoint, Brock might be the better surprise. As crazy as that sounds.
As crazy as that sounds. Again, and I know for me, I was really shocked with Jon Moxley because I was one of those people saying, I'm not listening to, you know, all the speculation. I'm not listening to the conspiracy theories. And to have him show up was, I think, a really big – I mean, it is a very big deal for AEW to have landed him. Very with no other wrestling shows, with not having done TV yet. You know, and again, spoiler alert, if you listen to the, you know, Chris Jericho podcast with him, he talks about all his reasons for going to AEW and how it's a better fit for him. But to see him there and even, you know, just the way that he came in, just very, you know, I of course, Attitude Era child here, so forgive me, but very Stone Cold-esque, kicking everyone's ass, you know, taking charge, you know, just causing this mayhem and destruction. But in a way that was, you know, definitely a little bit edgier. You could see tones of this new person just within the limited interactions that he had at the end of Double or Nothing. But it's also, you know, a big feather in their cap. They have the former Dean Ambrose, you know. So even if people are not sure what AEW is, they know for the most part who Dean Ambrose is, and following him could be a big draw to AEW. So very big surprise, but kind of going back to all of the elements that make something a surprise, Brock Lesnar's Money in the Bank, big briefcase retrieval was, to me, a bigger surprise. So, you know, breaking down surprises, that may not be a popular opinion, but if you think about it, it is kind of true. You brought up Dolph Ziggler earlier, and I also had another set of surprises kind of to evaluate. One was Dolph Ziggler returning a few weeks ago to attack Kingston last week. After not seeing him since the Royal Rumble and him kind of being in a more limited schedule. And I kind of wanted to compare that again. You can let me know what you think of this. The return of Awesome Kong. She made her in-ring return at AEW at Double or Nothing during the women's original triple threat match, made it into a four-way match. I don't remember the last time I saw her in a wrestling ring. I know that she's been working on the series Glow for Netflix and has been very successful with that. And I think there was this thought that maybe she would not return to the ring, or at least to a bigger stage. But I was looking, you know, evaluating those returns, and I think there's been a sense of feeling underwhelmed by Dolph Ziggler's return of, oh, here's Dolph again, and fans coming in as a, you know, a heel to Kofi, which what else are you going to do? You know, no one's going to be a face to Kofi. But people feeling kind of disenchanted with him, I think. I think people look at him coming in and out, as maybe someone that they can no longer connect with. Maybe they don't really understand what he's doing and why. Whereas someone in Awesome Kong has such a really a long period away, coming in, and really adding some depth, some seriousness to that match. Not sure she's going to be a permanent addition to the AEW roster in the women's division. I think it would be great to have, you know, a kind of this senior leader in the women's division there. But I'm interested in your thoughts about that kind of comparison, Dolph's return and Awesome Kong's return.
It's an interesting comparison only because the method in which they returned, because, you know, Kong was brought in by Brandy specifically, whereas Dolph just kind of came out there. You know, you could have argued that he was brought in by Heyman because it was Heyman who caused the distraction, but that's really the only difference I can see. I think both were equally surprising. I think Kong was a bit more surprising only because, you know, like you said, you kind of thought she was done in the wrestling business. And I'm a big fan, so I'm glad she's back. At the same time, I'm a little surprised. So I will definitely take that and be happy about it. But, yeah, it's definitely definitely surprising to see her there. And I definitely think – but I think they're pretty close to equitable. The manner in which they came back was different. You know, one entered a match, one attacked the champion, hasn't really wrestled yet, but and one might just be there until Super Showdown and leave. I kind of hope he sticks around because I'm actually somewhat entertained by this Dolph Ziggler. It's the most different he's really ever been, and so I'll take that. But yeah, I think they're both equally surprising, and neither was expected, that's for damn sure. And I'm happy with both of them, so I can't really complain. So yeah, I'm down.
Oh yeah, not too bad. Not too bad line of thinking there. And again, trying to be fair as far as the timeline of WWE, trying to find things that have been more recent compared to everything that just happened on Saturday with Double or Nothing. So again, I would say that Awesome Kong's return is definitely the bigger surprise. Not to say that Dolph wasn't done well too. I mean, there's always something to be said about those random attacks and then coming back out later to kind of do the explanation. I think for Dolph is kind of important to establish who this new version of Dolph is. But also he's just been kind of the last time we saw him, it was against Drew McIntyre in kind of a facey role. So he had to do a little bit more establishing of his character, where, I mean, Awesome Kong just was awesome. She just came in, kicked everyone around. You know, I mean, it was really great to see her, and I would say I was definitely more surprised by that.
Especially knowing what we know. Like, we know a lot about her situation. We know what she went through. So it's kind of almost heartwarming to see where she is and the fact that she's in a good place. That's exciting. So yeah, I mean, it's there's no bad to it. That's for sure. If you're upset that Awesome Kong is back, then you're just a bad person. So that's on you, bad person, for feeling that way.
Yeah. And kind of my last comparison again. I understand this is kind of a reach, but this was the best that I could do. I wanted to compare Adam Page getting into the Casino Battle Royale. Came in after he had already had his match with Pac. In England, due to some other, you know, issues that didn't allow for that show to happen, had Double or Nothing. But he ended up, you know, into the Casino Battle Royale. With the change that happened at the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, with Nikki Cross getting inserted over Alexa Bliss, multi-man, multi-person match, last-minute change or update, but handled in two very different ways. So I think Adam Page was definitely more of the surprise element, whereas Nikki Cross wasn't so much because it was already announced that she wasn't going to be in, or Alexa Bliss wasn't going to be in, but yet we didn't quite know who her replacement was until later on. But I also think that the way that WWE could have handled that was a missed opportunity on adding this element of surprise to it. Whether it could have been a way of setting up knowing it seems like for a while that Alexa wasn't going to be able to compete, but somehow still inserting her in the match. If there was some kind of element that they could have, you know, not necessarily similar to what we saw with like Lana at the Royal Rumble where Becky took her place, but maybe something more dramatic to show long term, you know, maybe Nikki was behind Alexa not being able to compete, but yet she was able to slip in. You know, some of them were the devious things. And I know right now Nikki's being portrayed more in a face, so that probably long-term wouldn't have happened, but they could have added some kind of element of surprise in there instead of kind of sharing all of that on social media. Whereas Adam Page, you know, though you already kind of knew where he was going to end up, especially since they just added an extra person into the Battle Royal, and the whole world and the joke card, things like that. But it still was left an element of surprise, because during that week being the Elite, you saw him with a possible knee injury. People didn't know what was going to happen, if he was going to show up. Even before then, all that, you know, all the things happening with Pac, you know, really left him up in the air. And so I did think that they did a pretty good job of adding that element of surprise to the Battle Royal and having him come in. I know long term that was still going to be the plan anyways, of really getting him up into that upper echelon. But I thought the way that they did it through being the Elite and some of the previous matches, that continuity was a really good way of telling it, compared to, I think, a missed opportunity with the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
I think the only thing about the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match that strikes me as different is that if you left that one open, people were going to be disappointed because they wanted to see Sasha Banks. And so I think they had to make that announcement because people would have been upset, and they didn't want people to be upset. So going with Nikki Cross made sense in that regard, only to sort of keep your fan base from revolting. If you left it a surprise, she probably would have been booed. That's not the desired reaction. So it makes sense there. Adam Page, we kind of knew, like you said, we knew he was going to be the one at that point to be number 21, so to speak, in the Battle Royal. But at the same time, it still got a great reaction. It was done for that specific fan base. So of course they're going to love it. It was what it was. I don't know who number 21 would have been if it wasn't him. Like if Pac hadn't pulled out, I'm trying to think of who else was in the match and who could have been number 21. Maybe they wouldn't have revealed performer Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears ahead of time. I don't know if it would have been Tommy Dreamer. I don't know what they would have done, but yeah, it does seem like, you know, it makes you wonder, like, who else could it have been if it had not been Adam Page? But I think both were – I think both are actually the right decision the way they did them in the end, only because, you know, one was making the best of a bad situation. Actually, they were both kind of making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, both of them did that.
One was avoiding unnecessary backlash. And so that's really where I sit with that one. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm good with both of them.
Well, as I was writing some of these down, this has nothing, you know, no true comparison other than the similarities of these two people. I imagine in an ideal world where everything I said goes, which of course can only happen on this show, but I would just love to see some kind of debate, podiums and all. You know, one representative of WWE, one representative of AEW, you know, just doing a debate between Sami Zayn and MJF. Just having I literally just wrote that down because I'm like, damn, I would watch that. I don't know, I don't care how much it would cost, I would pay just to watch those two gentlemen just talk to each other, talk about each other, talk about all the things. And I think it's going back to, you know, similarities and differences. Yes, they have some similarities in kind of their, you know, promo work or the way that they're doing things lately. But I think it is so entertaining and honestly kind of refreshing to have these two people put their own individual spins on being a heel. Of course, the insulty heel and all of that, but they both do really good jobs with it. And that makes me excited as a wrestling fan. Now having two companies, it goes back to all of the fantasy booking I'm sure a lot of us did as kids during, you know, when WWE and WCW around, even when ECW was around, you know, all these fantasy booking matches. And that would be honestly my first one. This is my first official AEW WWE fantasy booking match. Sami Zayn versus MJF. Book it. I don't care how that happens, but book it. I mean, I was marking out over Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. that was something I didn't know I wanted to see until I saw it, and I was like, oh man, this is, whenever they decide to do that, it's going to be phenomenal. But just in promo world and like just straight up debate world, give me a debate with Sami Zayn and MJF, and you could not make me happier.
Yeah, MJF is literally like the unsung hero of that show. Like, yes. They didn't, you know, the way he just jumped out ahead of everybody, in my opinion. Like, he's just so good. You can't teach that. And he is dedicated. He is dedicated to being hated. Like, he threatened to sue a wrestling website if they kept contacting him requesting an interview. Like, that's just,
he's so good.
Beautiful in so many
very,
ways. Like, you want to be
very
hated. Yeah, he's a big star. And here, and I actually made this comment on one of my write-ups about Double or Nothing, where I basically said I could see Adam Page versus MJF running WrestleMania, because in the end, I think that WWE's going to win out in this thing. But it's just, they're that good, and they're polar opposites, which you need people to be opposites to put together a really good presentation. And yeah, MJF is just, he's a star. He's only been in the business for like 3 years, maybe four now, and he's definitely, you know, he's picked up on it well, and man, that promo was just so good. Like, it's, you know, you want to boo him to support him because he's the heel and he's supposed to get booed, but you want to stand up and applaud because he was doing such a great job of being a man, you know? So.
And, you know, that will be the interesting in his long run. You know, how do you keep him being a heel? And kind of what WWE has struggled with, when someone becomes so good at being a heel, people start cheering them. And you need them to be healed so that they could, you know, be booed, so that they can be, you know, really strong to really help those faces out there. It may come to a point in time where people start cheering him, and where they take him with that. So, you know, we'll see. Again, you know, I talked about that just earlier in the Greg DeMarco show. When it comes to making some of the hard decisions about what to do with people, with titles, with this and that, that is where AEW is going to be able to show what makes them different as a company. So I'm very interested in seeing that. But, I mean, yeah, overall, it's very easy to hate MJF. He's doing a fantastic job being hateable. You know, everything about him, to his face, to his clothes, all hateable things, to what he says. So I definitely think that they have a really good heel with him, and he's going to be a really valuable performer in AEW. He's going to make a lot of people in AEW look good. So they're paying him well, which is great, which is kind of the beauty of wrestling now, is that, yes, there's going to be constantly these comparisons between these two companies. And it may be apples to oranges. Maybe it's things that we just can't compare yet, because AEW has just not had the platform yet with weekly episodic, you know, television shows, with multiple events. This is all still very fresh, so I do think a lot of these comparisons can be very premature. However, it is going to be something where you have to evaluate. Is it really comparable? Again, I kind of struggled with these because I really wanted to evaluate, you know, how people are looking at the element of surprise. And are you really looking at something at its, you know, value of was it a good surprise? Or are you automatically just, you know, dumping on it because it's with the company you like or you don't like? Or could you possibly be giving AEW credit for things that maybe you still need some more time to really evaluate and to really watch and form more of an opinion on, instead of just jumping like, that was great, that was the best thing ever. It was definitely great, but is it enough to make you come back? Is it enough to be sustainable? Those are things I do think that are, you know, important to just be aware of as wrestling fans, as consumers.
Yeah, it's enough. Is it enough to bring in the people who aren't already watching it? Like, that's the big question. Because their dedicated fan base is going to love it no matter what, because they're so, in their minds, starved for something new and an alternative. And I'm glad they're there. And they are an alternative. And people should be excited about that alternative. But at the same time, for it to be sustainable, it's got to bring in other fans. And that's, you know, yet to be seen, I guess. And I hope it does, because I want it to be successful. But that's no small task. If it was, other people would have done it already. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We will see. Well, Greg, we have reached the end of the hashtag Miranda Show for this week. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, or whatever we were doing.
Yeah. Whatever we're doing. Well, whatever this
Aww,
was. Aw,
Puddin.
For those of you who probably missed the hashtag Miranda Writes, don't worry. They'll be coming back. It doesn't mean they're gone forever, but they will be coming back, Greg, just so that you know. We've been taking some breaks, but it's hard. It's hard to do when you have so much to talk about. I want to make sure that we get to, but, you know, summer's still coming. So, yeah, we got plenty of time for the hashtag Miranda Writes.
We do, and I will be waiting nervous anticipation.
With nervous anticipation. Don't forget that you can support the Chair Shot through their Pro Wrestling Tees shop. It's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. You can also find a link on thechairshot.com directly to prowrestlingtees.com, and you can look at a multitude of shirts that are available. I have converted Greg to the way of soft style.
So comfortable.
Greg has finally gotten his soft style t-shirt, and it's changed his life.
Yeah, one day at a time. Yep.
One day at a day. What can you do? You should convert and get your own soft style t-shirt. You'll never go back. That I promise you. I wore my soft style t-shirt as I traveled 6.5 hours to New Mexico, and it was the most comfortable thing that I could have worn. Unfortunately, we were in a outdoor area that was very dusty, so it got a bunch of dirt on it. However, it was still comfortable, even with all the dirt.
So you mean you have to wash it?
Well, yes, I do wash it, and it's still soft, even after you wash it. I mean, it's a miracle. It's genius.
It's basically a commercial at this point. It's great.
Yeah, it's basically a commercial. I, myself, again, I'm the Twitterless heroine, so I am not on Twitter, but you can find me on Facebook, Miranda Morales. You can check out all the recent posts. Greg made an observation I posted now more in the past week than I have over probably the past 6 months, which, hey, it's a busy time in wrestling. I started off the show with that. It's a busy time in wrestling. So, you know, lots of things are happening, and now I'm finally posting a lot of stuff. So if you'd like to check that out, you can find me on Facebook. I do makeup tutorials on bearded ladies. I promote shows that I will be at, ring announcing, including this Saturday, June 1st. I will be announcing for Arizona Wrestling Federation in Peoria, Arizona, for the 2019 Wildcard Rumble. So if you'd like to go, definitely check it out. You can listen to me ring announce and not ring bells. So hopefully you're automatically not disappointed. So that's going to be great. But
what is that event called again?
The 2019 Wild Card Rumble.
Wild Card, bitches!
Yeah! I don't think they'll play that though. They should, but
they won't. But that's how I'll announce it. You think I could get away with announcing it?
I mean, if you feel like you're too busy and need less work, you should do that.
Yes. If you want to, you know, just hurt your announcing career, totally, totally do that. Notes taken. Sometimes you got to give the crowd what they want. Greg, our fans can find you at Chairshot Greg on Twitter, of course, and the Chairshot has its own Twitter page at thechairshot.com, where, again, you can follow thechairshot.com, get all of your wrestling news, announces, opinions, all of that online. It is a trusted source, so you know when you're following the Chairshot, you're reading the Chairshot, it's the truth. It's the truth. Nothing but the truth.
It's funny that you thought. So basically, all the stuff that the Chair Shot publishes automatically gets posted to my Twitter. Pro tip, it's automatic. I don't actually go through and post them all. There's a program that does it.
Wow.
You can get the same stuff at thechairshot.com without all of my, I believe you called it, assholiness or something like that. You can avoid all of that just by following at thechairshot.com and only get the content from the chair shot, not my brilliance, because for some reason you don't want my brilliance. But that's okay if you feel that way. It's a free country. Of course, I say it's a free country out loud, but inside I'm like, you're missing out. Bad on you. But yeah,
yeah.
You can get it that way. You won't have to deal with me if you don't really want to.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, you may not agree with Greg, and he may not agree with you, but he can be polite about it if it's a good day. Or, you know.
Of course.
He, who knows? Maybe. I mean, I can't promise anything. And he can't be like, well, Miranda, you said Greg was going to be fair, but he just called me a dumbass. I can't control, look. I can control Greg and the parameters of this show, but anything that Greg does beyond the hashtag Miranda show, I am not responsible or liable for. Let's just get that out there. Do not come at me. Do not sue me.
You have influence.
I have influence, but I am not responsible, liable, and maybe not always endorse and condone. But, you know, that's
okay.
Just the legalese. I have to say that so nobody sues
gotcha.
Me, okay? Because, as, you know, Sami Zayn said earlier this week, I could punch you, but then you would sue me. What's the point of that? What's the fun of that? I love those two guys. They're both, I want to say, Sami Zayn's work right now. You know, maybe not MJF level, and I don't know if it will, because I think MJF is going to have a lot more latitude with being asshole-y, you know? I don't know, one day, is there an asshole conference that only assholes can go to? And, like, it'll be, like, you and MJF.
I guess
and,
so,
like,
I'll tell
you
about
it. Okay, you'll tell me. I won't be invited, because I definitely, you know, I won't have the capacity. Yeah, it's way too nice, you know. Bailey's.
But if we have enough event
notice, of the world,
we could work on it.
Do not get invited to asshole conferences, so... I probably shouldn't also be cussing this much. But hey, as you said, it's a free country. It's a free
exactly.
country. So I'm going to, you know, so tone it down. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, again, for listening to this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Do not forget to check us out on social media and thechairshot.com. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting me. We will be back next week with maybe some surprises. Who knows?
Ooh, that's true. Maybe some surprise. I don't know. Maybe some surprises. You just never know.
FABULOUS.
I didn't even mean to play that. That was an accident. I don't know what
happened. That's okay. It's a nice song.
Yes. No, I meant to play that. I didn't mean to play the other one.
All the songs. See, this is why the buttons, man. Did you notice,
I
though? Like, you only played, like, I put no restrictions on you, and you only played, like, two buttons.
I've been good for both shows. Today, like
that is true. Even the noise on that, like, air horn, no, not the air horn, the buzzer that you played earlier for Patrick, like, that was at a way more acceptable level than the first time you did it.
It's the same one, I think. It's
yeah,
the, I
it's
just
a, but
made
you
volume
just,
lower.
Just the volume was so much down, it was much better.
Okay,
hashtag Miranda approved.
Well, that might become something too. We'll see.
Yeah, no, so many things that I want to make a thing. But I actually have to make it a thing.
You do.
So,
you have to make it a thing.
Yeah, that's really hard. I was gonna. Spoiler. I don't know. I mean, I've been wanting to kind of put you and Patrick at odds over this Carmella Mandy Rose feud. This is all I've been wanting to talk about. But
you make it your chance.
Is. Yeah, I make it my chance to be like, look, we're just gonna hash it out. Mandy Rose and Carmella feuding right now. Hash it out. I want you,
let me ask
to
you this.
Fight.
Since we're here and we're having fun. And then I'll follow it up with another good thing. But let's just take everything that Dean Ambrose just did, or that John Moxley just said, okay, on the Chris Jericho podcast. Let's remove John Moxley and insert Mandy Rose. So if Mandy Rose went on a podcast and said all those things, how would the internet be responding right now?
That's a good question.
She'd be ungrateful. She'd be bad at her job.
Yeah, I mean, the pessimist in me is thinking she's bitchy. She's so ungrateful. And I could see that, like you said, if you were to insert Sasha in there, because that's already happening. You know, she's so grateful.
Yeah.
She's, you know, whatever the negativity out there as far as.
I think if Sasha did that same interview, I think people would support her online. But if Mandy Rose does it, I think people would hate her. Same concept, same company, same working environment, just different source, and people would respond differently. But we love Dean Ambrose.
I think it's also the assessment of, you know, quote-unquote wrestling ability. It's, you don't even know how to wrestle anyway, so you need all the help you can get.
A better V-trigger knee than Kenny Omega does.
Whoa, that's some ballsy stuff.
There's actually
there.
A lot of people. I've seen that multiple times on Twitter. That knee she threw, for everything you want to complain about, whatever, that knee is badass. That she, probably Sonya,
no,
maybe
I mean,
Sonya caught it to her. I don't know.
She's super talented. You know, I think she's improved leaps and bounds, you know, and I've just been more and more impressed with her as an overall character over the past, you know, I would say 8 months. Than, you know, a good portion of her career. And I think a lot of people are, you know, the Eva Marie spot, you know, and whatever, you know, that those same things are about you know, people who can't wrestle or all those types of opinions, you know, et cetera, insert stupid comment here. But, you know, again, it's looking at things in a fair way. And I think we all have these blinders on sometimes to people, to companies, to spots where we're not evaluating things in an objective way. So you make a very good point about, you know, her ability, but also, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot or a completely different person or even a different wrestler, I don't, you know, maybe who would be like a good male equivalent? Who was that guy? Who's Zack Ryder's tag team partner?
Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like if Kurt Hawkins did that, people would be sympathetic, but also be like, but this was the best thing that was ever going to happen to you. So like, why
right.
are you complaining?
It's definitely that personal bias that comes into people's reactions, but that's human. I really can't criticize that too much. That's just human nature. So I gotta be okay with that. On the flip side, I gotta be honest with you. I was making fun of you because you're posting things and you have these little makeup videos. They're actually kind of good. Like they're actually quite entertaining. You need to get more backstage interviewer work, because that's kind of what I look at that as. Dare I say, this is the highest compliment I can give. Dare I say, Kayla Braxton-esque. Dare I say.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She's so
pretty.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was just something randomly that I came up with. This guy, he's been wrestling as the Bearded Lady, and he's now been taking his whole shtick seriously about being a woman. It's like almost like imagine Lacey Evans, but as a guy with a beard who dresses horribly. But that same element.
So not Lacey Evans at all.
Yeah, so not Lacey Evans, but like almost Lacey Evans. But I had makeup because I was doing it. It was the whole thing was in a barn area. Like it was like this huge covered barn, and everything was kind of dirty and dusty, but there wasn't like any other rooms to like, you know, get ready or do makeup. So I had my makeup lying around, and we were talking, and I'm like, let me do your makeup, like, and he's like, yeah, and then we're like, let's film it, and it just kind of came together really, really well, and I just had a blast, and it was just really fun. I love backstage interviewing. That's how I started, and I did less and less as I started more and more ring announcing because it was hard to balance the two. And I really haven't had a chance to do interviewing since then. Like, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Drive home safe. Be responsible. Love each other. All those things. Bye.
Adult. We'll
A voicemail from Linda, a real Banner Health patient.
I just wanted to say thank you very, very much. We felt comfortable, and I actually didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay longer. All right, thank you so much.
Banner Health, exhale.
Not the music you were expecting? Know what you're getting into with your music and your internet. Straight Up Internet is $50 all in, no hidden fees. And like this music, you can even pause it. Straight Up Internet, know what you're getting into.